Guys, this is it. The end is here. We're talking Ultima Lucha Dos Part 3, so join us one last time this season. Get into it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
This is the end. It's somber, but it's okay.
You know, it's a weird feeling. 26 weeks has flown by.
Dude, it's crazy to think. Yeah. Wow.
But this is it. As Jim Morrison says, this is the end. We are right here. Season 2, episode 26. We're talking Ultima Lucha Dos, part 3. The very last episode of season 2 right here at your Lucha Underground After Show on AfterBuzz TV. As always, I am Ty Matthews. I am at Ty Matthews PMA on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on all forms of social media, as well as various other after shows. But more importantly than that, my lovely and talented co-host, aww, documentarian, wrestling fan extraordinaire, producer, he does all sorts of stuff, Jimbo Slice.
Hi. You know what you could add to that list?
What's
now?
That?
Perfect attendance.
Perfect attendance. 100%, y'all.
I never, ever got that in my entire life.
Unbelievable.
In anything.
You know, sometimes he had to do the show from the booth, but he still did it.
Yeah.
Wherever he had to do it from. Perfect
survivor,
attendance.
Like Beyonce.
Getting that sticker on that report card.
Yeah. Give me the little yellow smiley face.
Great job.
Great job. It's a scratch and sniff. Remember those?
Amazing.
Remember those pens?
Of
that
course.
You can smell?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it smells like marshmallows.
Black. The brown one was the best. Black one was terrible.
You're all just huffing markers at school.
You know.
Like, what are they setting you up for?
Normal stuff.
Follow me on Twitter at TheJimboSlice. TheJimboSlice. That's at TheJimboSlice with two E's. That's at TheJimboSlice.
And we have got so much to talk about, and not a whole lot of time to talk about it in. So let's get into it. Let's start with what's got to be my favorite vignette of the whole season: Pentagon Jr. The former Pentagon Jr., consulting with his Dark Master, visiting what looks like the cave from the original Batman series.
I was like, is that Vasquez Rocks?
Right, exactly. Like, But it's that shot. We've seen it in the teaser. He has to fight a whole army of other Pentagons.
It was so cool because he like goes into the cave, like inside the cave you will find your spirit animal.
Right.
Or, like,
oh,
you will find the power or the amulet. Like,
exactly.
Go into the cave. And he goes in. And it's like glow in the dark, you know, black light.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like the zero mantle sign. And as soon as he goes down, the strobe hits. And you see like all the different Pentagons with all his like masks that he's worn
exactly
over his career. And I was just like, oh, that was so awesome.
Definitely.
And then, yeah, he just proceeds to beat the crap out of himself, kind of.
It just, yeah. And he's
a la liar style.
Exactly. Kicking my ass.
Do you mind?
There you go. His Dark Master instructs him to destroy the man who was broken.
Yeah.
And to basically finish off all of these imposters.
Finish him.
The final of which is Vampiro himself.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then he pulls the mask off and it's Vampiro and he's like, you were ready.
Yep, he's now. There you go.
There you go.
That is timing right there. And thus, we are introduced to Pentagon Dark.
Yes.
The brand new iteration of Pentagon.
He was like Pentagon Jr.'s light burned bright like this candle, but now it's time for you to blow it out and be Pentagon Dark.
Absolutely. I love it. I love these like
so
evolutions
cool.
of characters where
so
they're
good.
Just going into completely new identities, new names.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's what I can get on board
with. And it wasn't
with.
Like, we're going to take this guy off TV for 6 months. We're going to bring him back with a haircut.
Right, exactly.
Change his music. You know, like,
right.
It's just like, no.
Just
like,
drop the junior. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
But no, he's Pentagon Dark
now. You have one
name
now. You're like, Cher.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll see more of Pentagon Dark later. Let's get into the trios title match. The
Fire, Space, and Fury.
Fire, Space, and Fury, as Vampiro is unofficially dubbed the team of Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago, taking on the current champions, Worldwide Underground, PJ Black, Jack Evans, and Johnny Mundo.
You know what I just thought of?
What's that?
Technically, Fire, Space, and Fury works for each guy.
Because, oh,
like, dragons fly and
sure.
they have fire.
Sure.
And I'm sure they're furious. Like, you know,
I
like
it.
Every guy it works for. Each
I
guy.
Like it. I like it.
Because I was trying to think, like, well, which one's which?
Right.
Because, like, Phoenix is technically fire also.
Sure.
And
sure.
he flies as well.
You know? Exactly. Exactly. But let's get into this ridiculous, ridiculous match.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
First of all, before we get into anything else, just how silly Jack Evans was being in this match as well.
Oh, with the ass punches?
Just working the ass. I mean, you know, in wrestling, you want to tell a story, you want to have a good sense of psychology, and sometimes that means basing your entire set of offense around working your opponent's taint.
Feels
area.
Like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Nothing at all. Stupid sexy Evans.
Oh man.
But I mean, just absolutely insane stuff. And I love kind of this little sub-narrative that we get about the referees as well.
Yeah.
You know, they've spent this entire season kind of being pushed around because in Lucha Libre, the rules are a little bit looser anyway, but these are American referees. This is Justin Borden. This is Rick Knox. This is Marty Elias. And Rick Knox, a guy that we've seen dive before.
He does not take crap.
He puts a stop to that dive spot.
Yeah, he's like, legal tag. I'm surprised he wasn't like, hold the tag rope.
Exactly, you know, like, exactly. And I just, I thought it was ironic that the referee that stops the dive spot is probably the only referee that I've seen dive.
I was waiting for him to stop them and then dive.
And then do the dive.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Knox is about to dive already? Like, in the opening?
Not if the really? Bucks aren't around.
Uh-huh, seriously.
Disappointed!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes!
That's not Mark in the booth. That's Steve in the booth, and he is on top of it right now.
On point.
Props to you, sir.
Amazing, amazing assisted apron Rana at one point from
Drago.
That was so
crazy. Another thing, like, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah.
Like, something new to break out. Like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to lift you up. Chuck you onto this guy, and he's gonna flip you off the apron.
He chucked him, a fellow chucker.
Yeah, fellow chucker, eh?
Oh wow.
It was just an insane, like, it was almost like an assisted dragon run, I think, from what I remember.
Yeah.
Because it started with a hip toss into a run off the apron, right?
Yeah.
Just ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. A super destroyer from Aerostar. Of course, because this is the temple, not the last destroyer we would see of the night.
No. I love Evans hits like I think Aerostar was just on fire, just taking everyone out.
Mm-hmm.
And Evans hits like a Steve Austin like stun gun where he just holds his legs and
just
drops
him on the rope.
Just a nasty
stun gun.
Just like, oh, that put an end to your little run. Right,
exactly,
there.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, and what, like I said, from Jack Evans, we see a punch to the taint. We see some diving, a diving poke of some sort to the nether regions. Just weird stuff.
We see a gnarly like Phoenix on the second rope, Aerostar on top of Phoenix's shoulders, and you think he's about to dive into the ring, then he decides, no, I'm going to dive to the outside.
Just absolutely, yeah, insanity just from such a ridiculous height. We see a huge springboard 450 from Phoenix. Jack Evans pulls the referee out of the ring.
Bad form.
And we see Worldwide Underground just absolutely demolish Phoenix. Just triple belt shot, triple air guitar.
It was
at one
so
point.
Great how they all get the belts, they play the guitar, and then they hit him with it, and Matt Stryker's like, oh, their greatest hits. I was just like, yes.
That was good.
And then Vampiro was like, I'm about to call you out on that, but I decided not to because we're friends.
It was a good one. Vamp, it was a good one. Also, Matt Stryker dropping third base references. Like it's like 1993, you know, as you do.
Yeah, he's on and off those pills, man.
At one point, I don't know how well versed you are in Chikara, but at one point, Worldwide Underground hits the Ragnarok. And Jack
Evans. The BDK,
Evans,
right? That's
exactly. The BDK's finisher. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jack Evans tells him to
sweep
the
leg,
Johnny. Amazing stuff.
So good.
Swings under, hits the Ragnarok, one of the most impressive triple team finishers that you'll ever see.
Yeah, and then we see Angelico.
Angelico.
Even on crutches.
The injured Angelico comes out and just beats the holy piss out of Johnny Mundo with the crutch. Huge dive from Drago right over Phoenix onto the rest of Worldwide Underground. Big ol' imploding somersault plancha from Aerostar.
This is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing people do that into a ring is insane.
Right.
Seeing someone do it to the outside, like, oh no. Like, I'll give Aerostar his due. He does some insane flips, like how people used to say RVD, like, uses his body as a weapon. And
right.
He just has, like, no regard. Like, that's Aerostar. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, like, if he's a spaceship, I'm just going to crash into you.
Exactly. And a lot of times, yeah, we've seen him do that almost sort of trust fall-ish dive.
Like, reverse cannonball.
Exactly,
like,
exactly. Oh, but this time, yeah, imploding somersault plancha to the outside. More crutches from Angelico to Johnny Mundo. Huge, huge leaping kick from Phoenix to the back of the head.
Almost looking like a knee.
Yeah.
But, it was crazy how he got,
that high. Just Mundo was sitting on the top rope, and he like,
and he not only was sitting on the top, but he was kind of hunched really far forward. Yeah, I like that.
It was magical. It really was
magical.
Spooky.
Huge kick. Exactly. Huge kick from Phoenix hits the Phoenix Driver for the win and the new Trios champions, Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago.
That's cool. I'm down with that because I'm glad to like. Something we didn't mention, but like Taya wasn't out there because she's preparing for her match.
Exactly.
They brought that up. So that might have had something to do with it. So like maybe when they go to the back, like next season we'll see a vignette of like them all bummed in the back. And she's like, what are you doing? I wasn't there one match and you guys can't even keep the belts, you know?
Exactly.
Like, so I'm excited to see them chase them.
Sure.
So it'll be cool. And it'll be cool to see like how those three guys get along. Because right now they're all like the best of friends, but that could change real fast.
Oh,
just
definitely.
Look what happened to like Reyes, Tekka, and Puma.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So. Yeah, you never know. In the temple, relationships are fragile. Next up, we've got the grudge match that we've been building to all season.
Lotus.
Dragonus Tekka Jr. versus Black Lotus. And just some amazing, amazing stuff. You know, it's obviously there's a ton of pressure when you're debuting in the season finale, yeah. The biggest episode of the season.
Seriously,
thank you.
Hell, you know,
and yeah, just some amazing, amazing athleticism.
The
from
only
Black
thing
Lotus.
I didn't like was that they both started in the ring,
mm-hmm.
So like we didn't get to see her entrance.
I really
wanted to see her entrance because I expected like a Kill Bill-esque,
sure.
Like the triad with like a bunch of dudes and like masks.
Absolutely.
Like spread the way and she comes down the steps in like a robe.
Damn,
or like
I didn't,
something badass.
I didn't realize I wanted that bad
yeah.
Until you just mentioned it.
I was
it.
Just like, wait a minute, like why is she already in the ring?
Right, she's
and
getting
she
them already
cool
in the ring.
Cool as it is. Like mm-hmm. I wrote in my notes, she looks like a mix of like Kitana and Psylocke from X-Men.
Okay. I can
know,
see that
like,
for sure.
And she was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing like karate lucha kind of stuff, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, oh wow.
And just
she's
yeah,
badass.
I mean it's
certified badass, like Rick Ellis.
Exactly, yeah, there you go. With this being a grudge match, Dragonus Tekka Jr. just huge like launching drop kick misses right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are people that are out for blood, and I love when the style in the ring kind of reflects that, you know?
Yeah.
At
one point, he Irish whips her into the barricade on the outside. Like, no love lost.
Exactly,
all.
Exactly.
Just like,
huge. Just launches her into the barricade.
Like,
we see an amazing, amazing Negro Casas-style head scissors from her. Just satellite style where she's just
yeah.
spinning over and over and over.
She's crazy.
Amazing. Yeah, a lot of really good lucha stuff. You know, we obviously saw a lot of martial arts from her. We see a lot of lucha stuff as well, though. Huge, like, super Alita off the top rope. Just, I mean, arm drags all over the place. Huge enziguri from Dragonus Tekka Jr. And I love it. It's that same, it's that trademark Lucha Underground sound. Just
yeah,
that whip
crack. It was so great. Like, he knocks her off the ring apron, and then he goes to dive on her, and she moves, and he just lands on his feet.
Right, exactly.
I see.
He hits a massive rolling elbow at one point. Matt Stryker calls
comes
him
after L.
Bo. Matt Stryker calls him on the wearing the Misawa green. Love that. But out of nowhere, right after that rolling elbow, we see Pentagon Jr. interfere.
I did not expect this at all.
Me neither. I mean, this is the grudge match that we've been building to probably longer than anything this season,
yeah.
You know, and for Pentagon Jr. to come in, he breaks Black Lotus's arm. He hits Dragonus Tekka with the package pile driver, breaks his arm. This is Pentagon Dark. This is kind of the proper temple debut of Pentagon Dark.
I was blown away.
And,
I was just like, what is going on?
And he cuts a promo, and I never realized how much I love his promos. But his promos in Spanish, I probably enjoy more than 90% of English promos.
That's such a great point, because I was thinking that too. I was like so, like paying so much more attention because it was in Spanish.
Right.
And like, I think it would take out of his character if you were like, no, you got to read this in English or we're going to like dub it over.
Sure.
Like, it makes it like so much more real,
and it's and his delivery of the material, and even if you didn't speak Spanish, I think he's using clear enough words and he's emphasizing the words that he needs to for you to really mm-hmm. get what he's trying to
yeah.
convey. He says that he and his Dark Master went to the darkest places of the universe. He faced and defeated his fears, and in return comes Pentagon Dark.
Yeah, Ian Hodgkinson is dead.
Yeah,
Vampiro Pentagon Jr. is dead.
Exactly.
This is Pentagon Dark.
And not only that, but he's not waiting till the end of the night. He doesn't even care about being the main event. No, he wants his Lucha Underground Championship match right the hell now.
Yeah.
So right in the middle of the show, we're getting the monster, Matanza Cueto, defending the Lucha Underground Championship against Pentagon Dark.
Ring the bell.
And it's we've seen so many matches where Matanza is just wrecking people, but this is really the first time that we've seen him in the role of the victim for the majority of the match.
It's crazy. It starts out with a gnarly dive,
right,
getting off to a hot start, and then they just brawl all over the place. They're just kicking the crap out of each other.
Exactly.
I wrote, like, I can't believe I've never seen Matanza. Like, normally you don't see him get knocked down, but, like, not only was, like, he not getting really, like, knocked down, but he was, like, getting just, like, not tossed around like a rag doll, but Pentagon Dark was definitely in control of this.
Sure.
And you could hear, like, there he was like, remember mother, like, do this for mother.
For
and he's
family.
Like holding it. Yeah, do this for the family. He's like holding up the key, like, come on, man. He's doing like the Mickey pep talk to Rocky.
Sure,
like,
sure. And yeah, that key,
he's
that's
a bum.
That's ostensibly Matanza's urn, and it wasn't it couldn't even stop the onslaught of Pentagon Dark. We see a Death Valley driver on the floor.
That was so awesome.
A little homage to La Parca, which was one of my favorite moments of the match. I think we may have a La Parca in
possibly
here somewhere.
In there. See, it was Pentagon, and now it's Pentagon Dark.
There you go. We see a really interesting moment where it looks like he's setting up for kind of a Shattered Dreams, and then kind of turns it into a Codebreaker at one point. That was pretty interesting.
And then there's another time where he, like, running monkey flip, like, lung blowers him.
Yeah.
He
gives him the lung blower, the backstabber, to the back, and Matanza just flies out of that, you know, out of that move. And it's and Matanza, for as kind of stocky as he is so gigantic and just can fly like nothing else.
I love, like, the turning point in this match when, like, Pentagon sets up the chair in the corner and he goes to Irish whip him, and Matanza like kind of like stumble steps like, oh, I messed up, and you could hear fans like kind of like boo, and then it was like so realistic because it was just like, wait, the monster just realized, like, shake it off, and then he just like grabs him by the head and throws him head first exactly into that chair. I was like, this is like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where like
exactly
the dude like socks Leatherface, and Leatherface just like looks and like shoves his head into the wall or something, you know?
Right.
And that's stupid.
And that's the thing. Yeah, Matanza, I think, is best suited when he's being used as the villain in a slasher film. You know,
he's such a beast.
Yeah.
Imagine like a movie, like a Scooby-Doo style movie with like the characters of Lucha Underground.
Dude, I would absolutely love that. 100%. If it was like, if like the gang, like the mystery team was like Sexy Star, probably Willie Mac, somewhere in there.
Marty the Moth?
Marty the Moth would be very interesting.
Like the creepy dude who just like sneaked in the bus. Like, what are you doing under all the luggage? Why wouldn't I be under the luggage?
Exactly. Guys, let's...
like, I couldn't fit in the glove box.
Let's make this happen, guys. Hanna-Barbera presents Lucha Underground.
Or if it was like a murder mystery dinner where you could go to the temple and it'd be like, oh, who just took out, like, Dario?
Oh, man.
Who stole the money from Dario? Exactly. Oh. Season 3 could have so much...
We've got so many ideas. So many ideas. But yeah, just... At one point, we see a huge chair shot directly to the skull off of a dive attempt. And it's, I think we've been conditioned to not expect chairs to the head anymore, which made this one even more brutal.
They make them count, man.
Exactly.
They do that great. They make blood and chair shots really mean something.
Exactly. Pentagon Dark's got the upper hand, hits another destroyer, as we saw earlier from Aerostar.
Surprise, he even hit. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I was like, wait. Like, because it was like, he was like standing there like, finish him. And then he jumps off the top and hits him with the destroyer. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And at that point, Vampiro, the Dark Master himself, introduces the barbed wire bat. Pentagon Dark goes to take that barbed wire bat to Matanza. Of course, Dario is having none of that, shoves him out of the way, saving his baby brother. And of course, Pentagon Dark is about to snap his arm for his efforts. Of course, Matanza, you can't leave him alone with sharp objects. He grabs hold of the barbed wire bat, hits Pentagon Dark, hits the Wrath of the Gods for the 1-2-3 to retain the Lucha Underground Championship.
Yeah.
I know! We've got a full studio. We've got a studio full of people here. Spooky. Guys, hang on. Settle down. And after that, we see that the relationship between Pentagon Dark and his Dark Master is kind of
happy.
On the rocks. He shoves Vampiro away. What are you, HR shoving stuff? Just... but I love it's the continuity of the things that we've seen all season. When we come back from the commercial break, Vampiro's right back to taking his pills.
Yeah, he's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be off my meds.
Okay, Ian's back. Ian's back, guys. It's fine.
And you can see, like, in his face, he's just like, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'll be okay, Stryker. I'll get there. You know, like, right. Oh, poor guy.
Exactly. Next up, for the title of baddest bitch in the building, we've got Taya taking on Ivelisse.
Taya's gear was great.
Definitely.
What were those highlighter magazines called?
Oh, man. I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's what it reminded me of, because it was like like neon yellow and like neon blue kind of. Sure. I was like, oh, it's like a highlighter pen.
Exactly.
But it was really cool. It fit her perfectly.
It was totally outrageous.
Yeah. Totally outrageous.
At one point, it was an amazing dragon screw from Ivelisse right off the bat. A lot of brawling on the outside as well, including a tumble right down the temple steps that I don't think we've seen. We haven't seen any of the men do that.
No.
We see a DDT into one of the chairs from Ivelisse, followed up by huge chest kicks and a big super kick. Just Ivelisse is really, she's at her best when she's throwing those kicks.
And she has
just
the piranha pants
in.
On.
She's got the piranha pants, of course.
Silver piranha pants.
Of course. And one thing that they mentioned on commentary that I didn't realize is that this is only Taya's second singles match.
Yeah, and the first one was against Cage.
And the first one, yes, against Cage, exactly.
He's a machine. Yeah. You know, like, that is crazy.
And I think from what I remember, like, that match was surprisingly competitive.
Yeah.
And she was just stepping right up to it.
She went toe-to-toe with him.
I mean, that's one of the reasons that Taya is kind of one of the strongest characters in the temple right now. Going back to that vignette that we always love talking about, where she's in an evening gown, she's back-fisting guys' glasses right out of their hands.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous stuff.
I love how Ivelisse hits like a gnarly released German suplex.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
Oh, she just folded her in half.
Absolutely. Just folds her in half with the German suplex, follows it up with the Yoshi tonic for the two count.
The lights go out.
And of course,
this weird Raiden electricity noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights come on. And there is... I need to take a breath. There's Katrina in a really sexy outfit.
Sure.
Ready to do some damage.
Oh, yeah. Just blast Ivelisse right in the face with that rock taken from the rubble that claimed the life of Pascual Mendoza, a.k.a. Mil Muertes.
Oh. And then she sets up this gnarly, like, butterfly...
Oh, man.
Sit down?
Sure.
Kind of move?
Yeah, I wasn't even sure what to call
that. I was like, they should call it the lights out. Because when the lights come out, like, she shows up, and then your lights go out, you know?
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
Oh. And then she proclaims...
She says, death comes to everyone, even you, bitch. Just like, and that's what this segment was all built around.
Oh, so good.
Everyone's just trying to be the baddest bitch.
Yeah.
But Taya capitalizes, hits the Northern Light suplex, rolls through, hits the double stomp for the win, and ostensibly becomes the baddest bitch in the building.
Yeah, and then we see probably the best lick of death.
Oh, man.
In
this
seasons.
Was extra. Yeah, they even called it on commentary. Yeah. The most seductive lick thus far.
Sure. I bet Rachel would be like, I got the vapors. I got the vapors.
But, so going into season 3, we'll see, obviously, a lot between Katrina and Ivelisse. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
I have a feeling that'll be the Ultima Lucha trace.
It's got to be, one of the blood feuds that lasts the entire season, you know?
It's going to be nuts.
We get a nice video package about Prince Puma with some voiceover from Conan, RIP K-Dog.
Yeah.
And just talking about how we found him.
You know what's great about this?
What's that?
The dudes that were, like, after Puma were not the, like, typical thug lucha dudes in
the masks. It wasn't the same mask guys that we saw at the motel and the bar and the club where Taya was.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
What happened to those guys?
What happened to those guys? Exactly.
No, this might have predated them a little bit. Puma was just beating up maskless randos on the streets of Boyle Heights.
That's what you gotta do.
But just an amazing, amazing video package. I love when we get kind of deeper looks into the story. We get to make use of, you know, the video production and the skills that they have at Lucha Underground.
Yeah, and they definitely capitalize on that.
Exactly.
I was going to ask, we were trying to get more guests in, and I was going to ask, like, is there anywhere in the temple that we haven't seen yet, like, that you haven't shot in?
Interesting.
Because
there's got
to
be.
Use, like, as much of that place as possible.
Right.
So I'm sure there's, yeah, like that door that people broke through that were like, oh, this door always gets broken into. Right. I'm like, something's got to be in there.
Exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
When are we going to shoot?
Yeah, there's got to be. I mean, that's a giant, we've been there. That's a giant warehouse.
Yeah. Like, I think that's where, like, I was watching Madrix Secrets Revealed. Do you remember
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think that's where they shot that
no
show.
No way.
Because yeah, I was watching it. I was like, that warehouse looks so familiar.
I'm going to have to rewatch that. That Dude. Was my favorite thing growing up.
Oh, so
the magician Valentino.
Yeah, I was like, Val Valentino.
Yes. So let's talk about the dream match, the main event of season 2 of Ultima Lucha, Prince Puma taking on El Rey himself, Rey Mysterio Jr.
Rey's gear. So dope.
Yep, yep.
The El Rey Network sign with Mysterio under it. Like, how cool is that?
It all ties together, exactly.
I wonder, like, whose idea that was. Like, if
right.
El Rey Network were like, hey, we'd like if you would wear this. Or he was like, hey, guys, I got this idea. You know how my name's Rey Mysterio? You know, like, well, wouldn't it be cool if, like, this was, like, the logo on my thing for the
I'm
main?
Very curious
you know,
about
like,
that, yeah.
That would be so awesome.
We're going to have to try to get Rey in studio, in here, season 3. We'll ask him that, man.
Even, like, the way his last name is written on his pants.
It was kind of the same font.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, dude, his gear is on point.
Absolutely.
And then Puma with the dark gear.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last several weeks.
I think Vampiro or Stryker, someone mentioned like, oh, his gear looks a little different. Maybe we'll see a different side. I was like, oh, it's coming.
Absolutely, And just an absolutely insane match. 619 versus 323. Just
so good.
Ridiculous stuff going on.
Head scissors, counters for head scissors.
Exactly.
Crazy DDTs.
Right.
Oh,
I took so many notes for this match because there were so many high spots and so many moments where I thought the match was going to be over. A challenger did appear. I love that sliding splash that Rey Mysterio does
so
to the
good.
Outside. It's like he's on a slip and slide.
Dude, I wrote that in my notes. I was like, you run, you slide, you take a dip, you take a dive.
And that's not even one of those vinyl canvases you see on the indies either.
Yeah. Oh. I love the electric chair. And then they both go over the top and still land on their feet.
And they hold the pose. That was ridiculous.
It's like, what just happened right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I was really surprised at that. They talk about that. They talk about the strength of Prince Puma, and he is a guy. He's similar to, like, PJ Black, where you look at him and you don't realize just how strong he is. But to be able to hold that position going over the top rope is just inhuman.
A lot this season, I've noticed that people are doing, like, forward rolls into moves.
Right.
That'd have been cool.
Definitely.
Like, Puma did a drop kick, and then Phoenix has been doing it with cutters
that's,
and stuff.
Yeah, that's one of Phoenix's go-tos.
I like this. Like, like it's logical in the sense of like, well, if this gets me over to you quicker and throws you off of like, wait, where did he go? Like,
exactly.
Why is he down there? And then you're up and you're already hitting me with a move. I'm just like, wait, where did you come from?
Right. If you're just straight up running at someone from the front.
Just the sidestep.
You know. Exactly. Yeah. They can lucha bypass you.
The lucha bypass.
Right into the ropes. At one point, I love that we see kind of like a surprise 619 to the ribs.
Yeah. Like an accidental. Like he went to throw him into the ropes and he's just like, aha.
Exactly. I love how when moves are used kind of in different scenarios than they're usually used in. You know, and it makes sense. It makes sense that it would be kind of just fresh in his mind, something that he can pull out
like
really
instinct. Yeah.
Exactly. He can pull it out of nowhere. He can hit it on absolutely anyone. The greatest finishers in wrestling are the moves that you can hit on anyone, whether they're the size of Rey Mysterio or whether they're the size of Matanza or Mil Muertes. You can hit it on anyone from any time at any moment. That's what made the Diamond Cutter such a great finisher.
Yeah, and DDP was awesome to where, like, he'd do variations of the Diamond Cutter, and then people were taking those and making those their finishing moves.
Exactly.
Like, he did the TKO one, and then Mark Merrill was like, no, I'm going to call that the TKO, and now that's a move.
Oh, yeah. And he would do it from the corner. That became the Tower of London.
Yeah, you know, like, variations of his diamond cutter became other people's finishers.
Definitely.
You know, like,
at one point, it looked like Prince Puma was going for an avalanche splash mountain powerbomb on Rey Mysterio, and they turned it into one of the most beautiful top rope ranas we've seen.
Reverse ranas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It ended up turning into that poison rana. Yeah.
And it was crazy because I thought it was going to be him tossing him like a, what did the Briscoes call that? The Briscoe brothers, they call it like,
oh, man,
Splash Mountain or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought he was going to toss him for that, and he was going to get caught into a rana.
That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, man. So when they switched it around and he did a reverse one, I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
The magician never reveals his tricks.
Exactly. And at that point, we see them go into the finishing sequence, and just so many different false finishes at this point. We see Rey go for his trademark bulldog, right into a backbreaker, followed up by a huge blue thunderbomb.
The lumbar check, because I thought like he was going to do the blue thunder out of that, and then he hit him with the lumbar check, and then he hits him with
the blue thunderbomb.
Put this guy away.
Rey goes for the 619 after that, misses, gets hit with a butterfly kick, followed by the 323, Prince Puma's own variation on the 619, followed up by a 450 for a near fall. I really thought this was going to be it. I genuinely thought Prince Puma was going to put Rey Mysterio away with his own finisher at this
and
point.
And then he hits the Benadryl.
Yet another kick out, and we're seeing kind of that deep, darker, more intense side of Prince Puma.
And then Rey goes old school.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I haven't seen him go for one of these in so long. Because, like, my favorite thing about Rey Mysterio in WCW is when he would do that and he would tuck and hook the legs.
That flash rana, yeah.
Yeah, where he'd, like, tuck and hook the legs, and it was like, how are you kicking out of that?
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's a move where, like, you, like,
it looks legitimately like you
like people look. Yeah, like, people look at wrestling, oh, that's fake. Oh, like, I see him stomp his foot or whatever. But, like, you look at that and you're like, okay, try and kick out of that.
Right, exactly. You know, like, he stacks them up
so
tight.
You're tucked in there. You know, like, where are you going?
Yeah, so after that huge dropkick from Prince Puma, he goes for the 630, and Matt Stryker even calls it. He goes for that "I'm sorry, I love you" moment that we've seen in retirement matches. But Rey Mysterio, wily as he is, moves out of the way, hits that flash rana that you mentioned for a kick out, and just another sequence of kicks. Huge enziguri from Prince Puma.
He hits that reverse destroyer.
So yeah, we'll get to that. At one point, he hits a huge enziguri, Rey hits a huge enziguri, goes for the 619. Prince Puma catches him, looks like he's going for that rib breaker that he hit earlier, where it starts out like a tombstone, pops him up into the double knees. But yeah, like you said, flips it into an insane looking, like a tombstone destroyer.
Yeah, LTP used to call that the Owen Hart special.
Oh, that's right, yeah, LTP.
He's the first person I ever seen do that.
That is right, absolutely.
To Chimera.
Huge flipping destroyer, hits the 619 once again, goes for the top rope flash rana for the 1-2-3, and Rey Mysterio remains El Rey. Just an insane match. If you haven't seen it, if for some reason you're watching this after show and you haven't seen this match, pause it right now. Go watch that. We'll be right here. We promise. So, that's what the internet does.
So based on our picks, how did we do?
Oh, man. I don't think I did great. I definitely thought Prince Puma was going to take this one. I mean, I definitely didn't call Pentagon Dark ruining the grudge match.
So that's a wash.
I thought Ivelisse for sure was going to beat Taya. I don't think I did great.
Yeah, man, we'll have to go back and watch our other shows.
I think I did too hot,
good thing
guys.
We don't have, like, a predictions title.
Exactly. Oh, I feel terrible. Speaking of which, I'll be defending mine this Sunday. Battleground. Now, some amazing, amazing camera work as well after this match. Prince Puma is in the middle of the ring, right on top of the Aztec seal, looking so dejected. And there's just Rey Mysterio walking up the steps, slapping hands with everyone, still El Rey. And just you see him over the shoulder of Prince Puma. Just absolutely amazing camera work.
Beautiful.
What now?
Now we get the close-up of Vamp looking all...
Of course.
Crazy.
We've got Matt Stryker. He's doing the sign-off. Thank you so much joining us. Blah, blah, blah. Pentagon Dark attacks the both of them. Hits Vampiro with a bat. Super kicks Matt Stryker. And just...
annihilates
Pentagon
man.
Dark destroys Vampiro.
Yeah.
Taking the barbed wire bat to his face. Just raking his face.
Like it was a cheese grater.
Exactly. Until it's covered in blood. Licking the blood. Because that's just what Pentagon do.
That's just what Pentagon do.
And he gets on the mic. Exactly, just like that. He gets on the mic, tells Vampiro, he says, "Do you remember? You are no longer my master. I am the new master." Like, Pentagon Dark is the master now. And which I'd love to see if this goes in kind of the direction they went after the first Ultima Lucia, if Vampiro is like this dedicated follower now of Pentagon Dark.
Like the roles reversed?
Yeah, exactly. Now Vampiro is strung up in that weird swing that we saw. You know.
That'd be so funny.
Nothing weird.
Oh, man.
And he says, "The blood from your face feeds me." Just such a Pentagon thing to say. Now, at the end of Ultima Lucia Uno, I guess, we saw little clips that gave us the story and gave us the epilogue of everyone in the temple. Here, we only see one. Guys, we didn't find out who the Lord was.
No.
We're so mad about that. We're going to have to tune in for season 3. But we see Dario Cueto being arrested and taken away in a van. We see police lights flashing, but we see that grin on his face. That Mephistophelian grin on his face. And people have posited theories. Either it's part of a setup, or he's glad he got arrested. Who knows?
Maybe he feels like he's protected, like jail is the only safe place.
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas is in his back pocket. We know that. But guys...
Oh, man.
No, go for it.
I was going to say, I thought it was, like, so crazy that's all we saw. Like, I expected to see,
I was
like,
really shocked at that.
Like, shoot the moon! This is a bust! And then, like, Joey and Reyes are in there, and they're, like, handcuffing people and breaking stuff, and, like, what happened to Cisco? Did he make it? And, like, Joey just shakes his head, and, like, that was it.
Right.
You know? So, I was just like, oh, man, this is how it ends. But I took a picture, it's on my Twitter, of, like, a screenshot where, like, he looks up and he smiles, and like the way the lights hit, it looks like he has devil horns, and one's red and one's blue.
Amazing.
And it was just like, holy crap. Like, what a way to end this season.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
Such a good season. I can't wait for season 3.
A single beautifully shot scene and season 2 of Lucha Underground.
Keeps us wanting more.
Guys, 26 weeks later, here we are at the end of this season. This was absolutely incredible. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Let us know what your highlights of the season were. Whether it's here at AfterBuzz or it's in the temple itself, we want to hear from you. But guys, for the last time, this season at least, Jimbo Slice, where can they find you? And where can they find that DVD?
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at TheJimboSlice with 2 E's. Buy this DVD, The Young Bucks 2 Sweet Journey at High Spots. I want to thank everyone from the Lucha Underground staff that helped us out. Krista Joseph, Adriana, Willie Mack, Carly, Joey Ryan, Cisco, all the refs that were supposed to come in, Famous B. We'll try and get you guys in here next season.
We're going to fill the studio for season 3.
All the fans that were tweeting and interacting with us, thank you. The GG Guy, Darren Riley, Tokyo Sweeper, Not Tweet Ryan, Claire Bowie, and Scott Morin. Thank you guys so much for all your support, and tune in because we're do more shows.
Absolutely. And as always, you can find me on social media at Ty Matthews PMA, that's Positive Mental Attitude, as well as various other after shows, including Monday Night Raw and American Ninja Warrior on Wednesdays. But thank you so much, like you said, all our guests, Rachel Evans as well, for being amazing the last few weeks. Season 3, we will be back with a vengeance, so we hope you'll join us. Find us on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate, 5 stars if you're nasty. On YouTube, leave us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, find us, and tell us how excited you are for Lucha Underground season 3. But guys, until season 3, viva la lucha.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit afterbuzztv.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.